Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Betches Media presents At Betches, a podcast hosted by Betches co-founders Jordana Abraham, Sammy Sage, and me, Aileen Drexler. We talk about it all, from the latest celeb drama to the best movies and TV shows out now. We share all of our thoughts, even the unpopular ones. Welcome to our pop culture group chat.
Hello, and welcome back to the At Betches podcast. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Jordana, and we know this is usually a place where you guys come to sort of get a release, get a break from the rest of the world, but we couldn't really not mention everything that's going on and how much it's affecting us, and we wanted to like talk about that. We're going to hopefully give you guys a distraction
soon. A few minutes. Right.
Yes, in a few minutes. But we didn't feel like we could not mention everything that's been going on this week and how that has weighed on us. It doesn't feel like totally appropriate to just be talking about pop culture so casually without mentioning it.
I also just like am very consumed by it, but going on my phone has been just the most miserable experience, and I am just in a bad way. How are you?
Yeah, I mean, it feels really heavy. It's funny, I talked about this a little bit with Dr. Naomi on Oversharing on the episode that will come out on Tuesday. I mean, I'm hoping things are like feel a little bit better by then. I don't know that that will be the case. Probably not. But
I think what's really bothered me this time, and especially being Jewish and having a pretty strong connection to Israel.
Yeah, you live there.
You know, and my family lives there. Mm-hmm. And like, I feel that something that's really bothered me about this is that people want to put like an American lens on it, and they want to make it like, because you spoke out for BLM or Asian hate or trans rights, like you now have to post or you have to speak out in a certain way about this. And I just feel like it sort of betrays what allyship means when you are the people who are affected, because allyship is supposed to be from people who are helping support the community in need. Mm-hmm. And it just feels, what I felt has been this like extreme pressure to speak out on the internet and say certain words. And it's like, I'm dealing with this in real life. Like I am speaking to family members and friends who are there, people who have actually like lost family members in this. And like, I can't be like living on Instagram with this conflict. Like this is too real to me, and I don't feel that I need to be called to be a supporter of my own community, as like when I feel that we are the ones who sort of need the support.
I feel like we talked about this not in relation to anything about Israel, but like we had talked about this sort of similarly when Angus Cloud had died, I think in the past few months, and there was like so much hate going on Zendaya's Instagram that she wasn't posting fast enough or anything quick enough. It's like, if you're dealing with something in an actual real way, you're usually doing that in a non-online manner.
Yeah.
You're not thinking about what people on the internet will think about how you're thinking about it.
Right. And also like those messages of support are supposed to be made from people who are supporting that community. That's what allyship is. Like it's not forcing someone who is dealing with like personal reality to making like a public statement so that like they can then be ripped apart for whatever it is they say. And especially on the internet where there is so much anti-Semitism, that like to be a public figure, you're actually putting yourself in that direct line of fire. Mm-hmm. And that's what basically you're asking people to do. It's been horrible to watch. It's been a horrible, horrible experience. Just be going through, and I just wish that there was like a little bit more, I don't know.
Grace.
Yeah.
I think that's really the word. And I think that I agree with you. There's so much policing online of who's saying what and the right thing. And to me, that's just entirely missing the point of like what the good of the internet could be. To be policing who's saying what and who's doing what is really like not helping anything. So I would just implore anyone on the internet to give everyone else a little bit of grace, to let people deal with this stuff in their own way, and to not feel like someone owes you anything, especially when they're going through it.
Yeah.
It's one thing to be like, where is President Biden's statement on this? Like, that is his job. Okay. Like, I understand that. If he didn't say anything, I would be like, okay, this is weird. But like, people on the internet are not that. So,
I mean, through like Betches News and through the morning announcements, like, I have been talking about it every day, which is why it's a little bit upsetting when it's like, okay, I am talking about it. You're just not following there.
Right.
But I can't get myself worked up about that too. And if this was upsetting to anyone, I really also want to say I give you grace too, even though I might be upset.
Listen, we all know that scratchy PJs can make a cranky kid. I want my kids to be comfy when they sleep and are rested in the morning. And that's why I snuggle them up in Little Sleepies. Little Sleepies makes award-winning bamboo PJs that moms rave about. I am said mom. I am obsessed with Little Sleepies. They are so, so, so soft. I just got one that was the Checkmates Zippy for my son Lucas. It's so adorable and it's limited edition, so everybody go check it out. Little Sleepies Zip Romper Pajamas, aka Zippies, the ones that I got, were designed with thoughtful details like fold over feet, mittens, and a double zipper to make the middle of the night diaper changes easier. Made from the buttery soft custom milled Luna Luxe bamboo viscose, their zip footy pajamas are gentle on sensitive skin and babies with eczema. But what parents rave about the most? How long they fit. And Little Sleepies makes the best baby shower gift. They have inclusive sizing from preemie to adults 3X. There are also nursing and pregnancy-friendly styles available for adults. So try a pair of Little Sleepies today. Fair warning, you'll never go back. You can try Little Sleepies for yourself by visiting littlesleepies.com. Plus, get 15% off your order on littlesleepies.com with code BETCHES. That's littlesleepies.com with promo code BETCHES.
Around the office, we have so many colorful framed art prints and photos. It creates such a fun atmosphere, and it gives our space that unique Betches character. I wanted to frame some stuff at home too, but custom framing can be so difficult and so expensive. So the things I want to display end up collecting dust in a closet. But Framebridge makes it easy and affordable to get your special artwork and memories in frames so you can spice up your space with ease. I love Framebridge. I framed my ketubah for my wedding. The process was unbelievably easy. They send you a canister to send in your artwork. They send you a few different options of ways that they can frame it. You get to pick. They're actually helping me also design the frame that works best with the picture and best for my home. And getting custom frames can be difficult. Framebridge is easy and affordable to custom frame just about anything. You can easily order online at framebridge.com or visit a retail store if you need some guidance. You can also upload a digital photo for them to print or mail your item in using their free, secure, prepaid packaging. Then Framebridge custom frames your piece in the studio using the highest quality materials and ships it to your door in days for free. See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com. Speaking of giving people grace, we're not doing a speak now section and we're just going to talk a little bit about Taylor. And if that bothers you, you can fast forward and let's just make this the episode of like,
you need to calm down.
Yeah. If you need to calm down, if it's not the way you would have done it, it doesn't mean it's wrong. We're going to talk a little bit about Taylor Swift. Sammy and I and our other friend are trying to go to a Taylor Swift cover band. In January. So just for the record, I like Taylor Swift a lot. I really enjoy her music. Anyway, go on.
Yeah. I mean, look, the tickets are more affordable. Well, can say that.
I don't do like star worship. To me, it's all the same thing. Like the music is good. I don't care who's singing it. If it sounds enough like what I've heard on the Spotify.
I don't think it's star worship to think that like she's a great role model and to like, you know, she's really good. So
sure.
Yeah. Well, anyway, last night she had the premiere for the Eras Tour film at the Grove in LA. They shut down the whole Grove. She wore a beautiful blue. It's beautiful is my subjective word. It was an Oscar de la Renta gown in like what Swifties will call 1989 blue. There were lots of celebs in appearance. Mariska Hargitay, Julia Garner, Adam Sandler, Maren Morris, Hayley Kiyoko, and Beyonce. Beyonce showed up, and then Taylor and Beyonce posted a boomerang on Instagram, which I thought was incredibly millennial of them.
Yeah, showing their age.
Yeah. Wow. Did you? Is it 2013, guys?
How old is Beyonce? Let's see.
How old is Beyonce? These are facts.
42. Yeah. 40. She just turned 42. Happy birthday.
On September 4th. Actually, a Virgo. Really. Beyonce is such a Virgo. We were talking about this last night. Like, who are Virgos? Beyonce strikes me as very much a Virgo.
I'm a Virgo.
Right. Not very Virgo-y.
Not though. Very Virgo-y.
Oh, maybe a little. I'm not an astrologer. I'm not Allie Luber from Vanderpump Rules. So Travis Kelce did not show up at the Eras Tour red carpet, although he had planned to make his debut there, but he had to do football practice. Apparently, according to sources, he did send a lavish $2,500 floral arrangement to her at the Beverly Hills Hotel. And he apparently wrote a very gushy card to go along with the floral display.
Who are these sources? The florist?
No, probably Tree Payne, Taylor's publicist.
Okay. Yeah, I'm starting to get a little over this couple already. I think they had their 2 weeks. I don't care anymore.
So I think that there's like, they're hanging. Like, I believe they're hanging out. Like, sure. Because apparently they had a secretly chill night in Kansas City for his birthday last Friday.
His 34th?
Yeah, his 34th. Nice. But they didn't, you know, there's not a lot of details about their secret night.
Okay.
Because it's a secret. And like, who knows if it even happened. People say they talk every day.
Well, they're dating. That makes sense.
But here's the thing. A source told Us Weekly, they talk every, this was even before. Taylor's really enjoying getting to know Travis. They're taking it day by day, but she has high hopes. Would you ever let your friend tell a magazine that you had high hopes about a guy?
I mean, at 34, maybe. Like, that's like a different kind of relationship. Yeah.
Maybe, but like I don't think Taylor's like about eight. Like, I don't think that's like her.
She's been around the block. I think like I think the older you are in dating, the more you can like be real about where you're at.
I don't think she dates like regular people.
You think she dates like the gamey? Like gaming? Like gamified dating?
I think she's a celebrity. So there's just like 1,000 other people involved. And it's not like really comparable to what the way we look at dating. Like their schedules are just not. It's not like, oh, can you go out on a Thursday? Like,
sure. Okay. Well, I hope they, I wish the best for them. I don't really care that much.
So she's maybe going to attend tonight's Kansas City Chiefs game. We'll see.
I won't be watching either way. So.
Neither. Okay. Speaking of relationships that have a professional dimension to them, Jada Pinkett Smith revealed that she and Will Smith have actually been separated for 7 years. Did you see this?
I did see this.
How does this make you feel?
I am not surprised. You know what I think is just so weird? Like, that they don't really seem very organized in how they present their relationship. Like, it seems very messy. And because, like, if you're seeing it, it's messy, right? So, like, there's not to say that they are more dysfunctional than anyone else. I think that there's clearly a lot of dysfunctional relationships in Hollywood. But the fact that they let it come out in like all these different ways is just like, it seems like it's very chaotic behind the scenes if this is what we're seeing. They've been separated for 7 years. The slap, like that, the slap makes a lot more sense to me almost since they were separated at that time.
It makes a lot more sense, but it also makes everything in the aftermath just seem, that would have been the time to say it, I think.
No, it wouldn't.
Yeah.
No.
Like, it would have explained it.
I think it would have added to the chaos.
Get it out of the way. Then it all would have just been under the category of the slap. Not
right.
And now we wouldn't be like, oh, that's kind of.
So when did she cheat on him, quote unquote, if they've been separated this whole time? Wasn't there a whole thing about her cheating on him a while ago?
Well, what is cheating when they're open? Like, what are the rules of their relationship?
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's all over the relationship that they're presenting is all over the place.
Right. So this is what she said to Hoda on the Today Show. So the reason they kept things quiet. She said, I think just not being ready yet, still trying to figure out between the two of us how to be in a partnership and in regards to how do we present that to people. And we hadn't figured that out. Then she asked, why not get a divorce? And they said, it fractured for a lot of reasons. I think by the time we got to 2016, we were just exhausted with trying. I think we were both stuck in our fantasy of what we thought the other person should be. I made a promise that there will never be a reason for us to get a divorce. We will work through whatever, and I just haven't been able to break that promise. So it's like, I get that. There are people who just like can't divorce because like the idea of it just, it doesn't work.
It sounds expensive. It's like, unless you want to, it's kind of like, unless you want to get remarried, like I could see why they'd be like, what's the point? Kind of like Kyle and Mauricio.
I get it. Maybe if divorce were like less expensive, people would do it more.
I think if you're going to get divorced, you've got to really hate each other. Otherwise, it's really just not very motivating to go through that whole legal process of like legally separating from each other. It's very expensive. It's very time consuming. And so I think if you kind of just like grew apart or you don't really like each other, there's like a little bit of friction. You're kind of like, especially if you're these Hollywood couples, you're kind of like, I could just not, like, just go live there, whatever.
Right, because it becomes a thing. And like they'd rather right. it not be a thing.
And it's a huge, I mean, when there's that much money, it's just like a huge thing to untangle. It's very, it's like there's a lot of press. There's a lot of other stuff. I could totally see why.
You pay lawyers. Right. You pay the PR people.
Yeah. I could totally see why they'd be like, I don't hate you enough to like need to declare it to the world. Let's just do our own thing. And I think that like divorce is a game for people who really hate each other.
Or they want to marry someone else.
Yes. Well, that's the other part. Yeah. But I think that they're probably not at the state where they would feel like that. They're not young enough where that's a huge deal to them at the moment right. anyway.
Like they have the kids. They
Right. They could just date someone for a long time without marrying them.
Well, to me, this story is not, you know, they can do whatever they want. I definitely agree. It contextualizes the slap. But to me, it just shows like people in Hollywood are not what they seem. Like no matter how much they present, we're very much in love. And like she has high hopes for him. It's just bullshit. Those are just all platitudes. And I think there's like a whole study of being able to read these platitudes for what they are. And that's what we aim to bring on this podcast.
For years, I've been using men's razors because the quality of razors for women is seriously questionable. But disposable men's razors feel like settling. I finally tried the Athena Club razor I've been seeing online, and it was truly the easiest, smoothest shave ever. My old razors, honestly, they would rust up so quickly, and the shave I would get was so dull. My legs would get super dry. It would just be like an uncomfortable razor experience. But this razor is truly worth the hype. If you haven't tried it, you really need to give it a shot. Step up your shaving game now with Athena Club's award-winning razor kit. It's seriously the best on the market, and here's why. First of all, the Athena Club razor kit is an absolute steal at just $10. But don't let the price fool you. This razor packs a serious punch. It comes with a beautifully made ergonomic handle and two super sharp razor heads that deliver an incredibly smooth shave every time. You also get a game-changing magnetic hook in the razor kit for easy storage. This means no sitting your razor on the edge of your tub, no more goopy blades, no more razor falling down your shower floor in the middle of the night. Athena Club's razor glides effortlessly thanks to those 5 precision engineered blades. The blades are perfect spaced out to let your hair pass through with each stroke, and you'll experience less irritation, which is always a win in my book. Are you ready to upgrade your shaving experience? Switch to the best razor on the market and show your skin you care with Athena Club. Head over to athenaclub.com to try their award-winning razor and body products and get 20% off your purchase with code BETCHES at checkout. You can also find Athena Club razors at your local Target store. Trust me, you won't look back. Happy shaving. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you just need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been in therapy for years, and nothing has transformed my life quite as much as my therapy experience. And one of the things that I love about therapy is that it gives me all the tools I need to figure out how to manage my time, and also figuring out what depletes me, what gives me energy. Sometimes too much socializing depletes me, so I've learned how to manage the amount of time that I'm going out versus staying in, the amount of new people I'm meeting versus making sure I have that me time for myself, and that's definitely a skill that I've honed in therapy. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/betches today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Betches.
Speaking of divorced couples who choose to divorce and who do hate each other.
And who are young enough to make it worth it.
Exactly. Let's talk Joe Jonas and Sophie Turner.
Yeah, so they apparently have come to a temporary custody agreement for their two daughters. Basically, the kids will spend equal time in the U.S. and the U.K., and they're going to co-parent. However, this agreement only extends through January 7th, so that's like the next quarter.
It's pretty quick agreement.
So Christmas. Yeah, they came to it pretty quickly, but it also seems like they'll revisit it at least. You know, so the kids are going to be flying cross-Atlantic for the next 3 months.
Well, you know what? I'm happy that they worked it out. It seems to have come to some sort of agreement here. Obviously, it doesn't seem like it's forever, but I think there's when there's kids and when there's little kids involved, and I think that's also the difference between this and the Jada Pinkett Smith, Will Smith thing, where it's like their kids are basically adults. It's really just about them. This is like nice that they've worked this out, this agreement for their kids.
I mean, also for Joe Jonas, because Sophie's going to be like, you want to fuck with me? I'm going to go out with Taylor Swift again.
Do you think that's what got him in line?
I don't think it didn't get him in line. Like, it probably, like, apparently he had some issue with one of his concerts on tour. Like, I don't think that having the internet make, you know, he almost got like a better, not better deserved, but a little bit of a taste of the Sandoval treatment, where you're just kind of the villain.
Right. I think it's
and also the butt of the joke.
I think it's in their best interest to just smooth this over. Stay out of the headlines.
Agreed. In 2 years, we might even forget they were ever married.
It's very possible. But let's talk about TV.
Yeah, let's talk about some TV. Apparently, The Crown is coming back for its final season.
I love The Crown.
Me too. Some calm. It's going to be split into two parts. The first four episodes will come out on November 16th, and then it's going to take a hiatus, and then the final six episodes will come out on December 14th. Very, very excited.
The Crown is such a good show. It's so well done. I learn so much. I know it's like technically they say it's like not fully, but it's like it's true enough that I don't need to know any more.
It's true according
about
to
it.
Somebody. I don't think, like, I don't do, my question is, are they putting anything in there that's like false?
I think they're more like dramatizing things, which maybe didn't happen potentially as dramatically as they are portraying them. But they're never saying dramatically. Right. They're never saying anything that didn't happen, right? There's nothing in there that's like false.
That's to my understanding, that's like kind of their line that there's
obviously like the dialogue they're making up because they don't have the dialogue, but
they have some dialogue, like the calls between Charles and Camilla.
Oh, yeah.
About the they have that dialogue.
To me, it's as accurate as like I care it to be. I care for it to be.
Yeah.
And I learned so much through the show. It's so well done. And it's like a slow burn.
Agreed. And there's the cast that change. Like, it makes it good because it's not, it just makes it more dynamic. Do you like the poster for this season with Diana sitting on the plank?
Let me see it. Hold on.
It's like a different view of that.
It's cool.
So that's like that's a pretty like iconic photo, but she's sitting, but the photo's taken from a different angle.
Okay.
In the original, it's taken from like a paparazzi lens from the side. She's in that photo. She's sitting off the diving board of Dodi Fayed's yacht.
Okay.
During that summer when she was with him and paparazzi were like chasing them around the Mediterranean.
I'm excited to like learn more about what happened with that because I feel like I've just gotten a very general take on.
Oh, well, that whole situation is one of my hyperfixations. So I'm happy to tell you about it anytime.
Well, don't spoil it for me. I want to find out on the show.
Don't spoil the thing that happened in 1997.
Yeah. I want to see it play out in the slow burning way that it's going to be portrayed on this show. That's like the beauty of it is I feel like I get enough details that I'm like, I feel like I understand the situation in a real way.
I'm very eager to see how they portray which angle they choose to take because obviously the royal family has an angle on this that they'd like such a show to take. And then other people have an angle that they would think this should take. So
I think they do a pretty good job of making the characters like pretty well rounded. And I mean, Charles is pretty hateable, but even he had some redeeming moments. So I like that it's like no one is real. It's not like black and white. It does feel like there's a lot of character development.
Did you ever watch the movie The Queen?
Yes.
Did you like that movie?
I think I did. It was a long time ago. Who was the queen? Who played the queen?
Helen Mirren.
Yes. And it was basically about how everyone was like mad at her after Diana's death, right?
Yeah. So I'm wondering if that was like not a great look for the queen. So I'm wondering if the show is going to take like that type of approach on what she did versus if it's going to make them look good or
right. Just and this is the general. Last season, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But it's in two parts, like The Sopranos was.
Right. I mean, I'm excited. That's me too. What else are you watching?
So this weekend I watched this very, very random show on Netflix. It's a Spanish show that was dubbed, but really, really good. Don't write it off. It's called Thursday's Widows. And it was about this, it's basically about this like very wealthy enclave in Mexico that they have like secrets and the families are intertwined, and it's six episodes and it's not really, it's like a little bit mystery, a little bit thriller. And each, so there's like, it's about five different families. In the first episode, there's like an incident. And then each episode after that follows each family to reveal the truth about them. How, mm-hmm. you know, how did they really play into this incident? And it's just intriguing.
What's the incident?
These like people die, like a bunch of husbands die.
Okay. Oh, because the seven widows.
No, Thursday's widows.
Thursday's widows. Okay.
The five families.
Okay. This sounds interesting. I'll check it out. There's not that much out right now besides like Real Housewives. I did watch the Netflix movie. It was number one on Netflix, so I'm sure a lot of people have watched it by now. Fair Play with the girl from Bridgerton. I forget her name. Phoebe something.
Phoebe Dinover.
Yeah.
Dinover.
And yeah. The premise of that movie is that
Phoebe D.
She works at a hedge fund with this guy, and she's dating like another analyst at a hedge fund. And then she gets promoted to portfolio manager. So like she's his boss, and it basically like ruins their entire relationship. And they're like also secretly dating because they can't like tell anyone. But it was very entertaining. I think you would enjoy it. It's a lot about like gender roles and like stuff like that. It's just like the way that she's promoted, like
love that. I'm definitely gonna watch that.
I think you'd really enjoy it. It gets a little absurd. I don't want to give anything away. It gets like a little, you know, when a movie gets like a little out of hand, you're like, okay. Like,
yeah. Like Uncut Gems.
Yes.
Great. But,
like,
I love that.
That was almost part of the like the ride.
Okay, good.
This was like not exactly like that. Not as good as that, but I thought very entertaining. And for there not being much on TV, I thought it was a very good watch. And I think you'll enjoy it. And I want you to text me after you see it. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick but can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any six styles each month. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There's no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. So it's no big deal if you lose a button, spill something, or you just need to take a break. They have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code BETCHES20. Just go to NUULY.com. That's Nuuly with two U's. And enter the code BETCHES20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com, Nuuly with two U's, and use code BETCHES20. Newly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Ready to redefine your relationship with alcohol? Whether you're trying to cut back or just want to explore a non-alcoholic alternative, Athletic Brewing is a game changer. They offer a variety of different full-flavored brews with no alcohol, allowing you to sip and celebrate anytime and anywhere. Do you like hazy IPAs, sweet, fruity sours? Athletic Brewing has an assortment of non-alcoholic beers in almost any style you can think of. One thing I really like is a great Sunday brunch. And sometimes, you know, you kind of want to have a drink during it. But also it's Sunday and you kind of want to get your life together. That's the perfect occasion to have an Athletic Brew non-alcoholic beer. Athletic brews a variety of great-tasting, award-winning non-alcoholic beers, including IPAs, Goldens, Extra Dark Brews, Sours, Hazies, and more, many of which are only available online and for a limited time. They offer hassle-free delivery right to your door when you order at athleticbrewing.com. Athletic Brews Bevs you can drink anytime, anywhere, and still go right back to whatever you were doing. It's a great fit for parenting, playing sports, watching sports, doing chores, late nights, and early mornings, so you can imbibe without worry. And when you support Athletic, you support a company that cares. They're a certified B Corp and donate up to $2 million annually to protect and restore outdoor spaces around the globe through the Two for the Trails program. Try Athletic Brewing non-alcoholic beers for yourself. Use code BETCHES to get 15% off your first order at athleticbrewing.com. That's BETCHES. At checkout for 15% off your first order. Near beer. Exclusions and conditions apply. Athletic Brewing Company. Fit for all times.
Okay, really not much going on in pop culture this week, which is good because obviously, like we've said, it's a very heavy week otherwise. But I'm very excited for Avi's birthday to celebrate it in an undisclosed location.
What are and you doing for the secret party?
You have a box.
Yeah. No, we're very excited. We're going to see Fred again. We're bringing all our friends along. Avi loves the music scene. He is very excited for his...
Does he play levels?
You know, I hope. I really like Fred again. I don't know that many of Fred's songs, but...
Do you feel like levels should be like the millennial version of Shout? Like we should just replace Shout with levels?
Yes, totally. We just have to play it everywhere from now on.
Yeah.
Before Levels, it was Stereo Love. Still is Stereo
Levels,
Love.
I think, is better.
I think it's more iconic.
It's got like more of like a like build to like a... It's
more globally iconic.
Yeah, and I think it's...
Stereo Love is Lana Del Rey and Levels is Taylor Swift.
Right. For me, it's like it transports me to like... A time. Like if you close your eyes.
A total mess.
Yes. If you close your eyes. And it was great. And you play levels, you will be in your SoulCycle time machine to wherever some rave that you were at in your 20s.
Yeah. When you were acting like an idiot and it didn't matter. No, yeah. We got to go back on our soul. That should be the song that plays when we... when you're
when
in the soul cycle time machine.
When they're cycling and then they break the barrier.
That's what they should. Wow. Well, if we keep podcasting, eventually by like 2035, we'll have a script.
Yes. No, they tap back into the levels range.
That would be such a good movie poster. Like tap it back in time. Yes. Look, we already have come up with the whole marketing plan for this.
Hopefully they don't have a copyright on that.
Cap it back in time. It's different.
Tap it back in time. I love it.
Tap it back in time. We got to write this down somewhere.
Yeah.
But if not, Sean could be writing it down because he's producing.
Yeah.
Or Holly, our producers. I'm very excited for Avi's birthday. We're going to have a really good time. And I also have my brother-in-law's wedding on Monday.
Oh, that's fun.
And his Uffruff, we are on a Friday. So it's very much like, you know, it's big weekend.
Yeah, a lot going on. Halloween's coming up. Are you gonna dress up?
I don't know. Are you?
I'm definitely dressing up. We have a You Up episode that comes out on the 31st. So we're gonna be dressing up for that.
Do you know what you're gonna be?
No, I haven't figured out. Last year I was the Monopoly Man here to
develop
all
Long Beach.
Yes. I remember Long Beach. This year, who knows? What other capitalist could I be? Taylor Swift?
Yeah. Sam Bankman-Fried. Who's my favorite capitalist?
Who's your favorite capitalist?
Probably Taylor Swift. Because she's actually producing something.
That's true.
Who's a capitalist that makes something like physical?
Really good.
Like that's like actually they actually produce Sweetie Pie's Bakery on Main. They're capitalists.
They're good.
You know.
Yeah. Small I'm business. Like, you're like a small, small business
capitalist. You're like, right. Fuck this. We're developing the boardwalk.
I like a PepsiCo.
PepsiCo. No,
Well, it's, here's the thing though. It's hard to get to a certain, it's hard to get to the level of PepsiCo without
exploiting a few people.
Destroying some lives. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
the thing.
Up.
Well, that's the thing. That's why it's like you maintain a lot more innocence as a mom and pop shop.
Oh, you know,
little shop around the corner versus Fox Books. The tale is old as time.
Well, and then Fox Books got put out of theoretical business by Amazon. Wait, while we're talking about capitalism, I want to talk about the oversharing ethical dilemma about the Taylor Swift tickets.
What was your take?
So I think
why don't we tell everyone in case they haven't listened?
Okay, you tell the question.
Okay, so basically someone wrote in and they were like, my friends and I are diehard Taylor Swift fans. We've been fans of hers forever. This other friend of ours, this guy, got a pre-sale code, got 4 tickets with the intention to sell them, to upsell them.
Being an asshole. Independent scalper.
We think it's messed up that he wouldn't sell us the tickets at face value and instead is trying to sell them to someone else. We do a betch assist, which is like we weigh in on an ethical dilemma. And Naomi and I usually agree. This one we disagreed. She thought it was messed up. I thought like, don't hate the player, hate the game.
So, okay. First reaction is I'm like with Naomi. But I will say that this dilemma I think calls for... But then when you talked about it again yesterday and you were framing it as like, it's not ethical that someone gets Taylor Swift tickets. Like that you're not, it's not a right. It's not a human right to have Taylor Swift tickets. So I agree with you from that perspective too. But I think actually what this reflects is something that I think about a lot when I listen to Oversharing, the ethicist column in particular, which is that like, ethics aside, you could also just be an asshole. And I think there needs to be a category that's like, not unethical, but you're an asshole. Or at least like...
I call that the icky category.
Okay. I would put that in the icky. I'd put it in the icky category.
Yeah.
I agree. It's not like he didn't do anything illegal. Is it the nice thing to do? Do I think that he could have just sold it to his friends for a little more than face value? And like they... Or to the people... Because also, if I recall the original email, that was like someone else who couldn't afford the tickets who he was like refusing to give them to.
Right.
If he had maybe given it to those people for like a little more than face value, I feel like
I could have been like,
that would have been nicer.
Well, that's the thing. That's the difference. That would have been nice. That would have been nice. I think we all agree that would have been nice. But it's more about like the feeling of like you're entitled to the thing.
I didn't see it as like, well, okay. I did think that like, she has a right to not be friends with this person. If
you have
she
the right
like,
to not be friends with anyone right. for any reason, any time.
Right. That's what I mean. I was like, okay, she's mad because this reflects that like she doesn't have the same values as her friend. And so she could just not be friends with him anymore. So that was my take. I was like, okay, it's not unethical for her to not be friends. It's no more unethical for her to say, I'm writing you off than it is for him to do the ticket buying. And you have every right to want to not be friends with someone because they do something that falls in the icky category.
Yeah.
Which I think it is. I agree. I don't think it's like what does ethics mean? Does it mean like, where's your line for ethics? Like,
well, that's it.
It's not unethical. You're not like cheating. You're just
frowned upon.
You're maybe. Being a dick. Like you're being a dick.
This is if Taylor Swift wanted to make her tickets unavailable for resale, wouldn't that be an option of hers?
No, that's like, I don't think that's an option. Not to my knowledge.
I think because someone DM'd me, it was like some artists can like say that they won't let their tickets be available for resale.
I don't see how that would make sense because how could you buy, that doesn't help anyone that if you can't resell a ticket ever. I don't think that that's like, that shouldn't be how you solve the problem. The problem should be the platform, but that's a different issue.
Would you stop being friends with someone because they did this?
Here's the thing. I think that I just like probably wouldn't be that close with someone who would do that in the first place. And then I wouldn't be any closer with them after. Like I wouldn't get into this with somebody. Just it wouldn't happen. I can't see myself.
Okay.
I also just, the thing that he did, I think, that was that he went out of his way to do this versus like he just the tickets came to him and like, or fell into his hand, or he got them and decided he didn't want them anymore.
That's what makes it ickier. I mean, yes. I think if the tickets just fell into his lap,
then he could do whatever he wants.
Absolutely nothing to anyone ever.
Yes. It was the way he went out of his way to like do the system. And like, yeah, it's just,
it's icky. But again, I don't think it's not unethical.
Right. There's, it's not that he's saying he's doing something that like, it's not that he's portraying that he's doing something different.
Listen, no one has to buy those tickets from him. He could just be left with $400 or $500 tickets that he are all his. Like, again, and I think that brings you back to my original point of like, seeing Taylor Swift is not your right as an American. Like,
right. As much as we wish it was.
Yes. It's not like, it's not healthcare. It's not like a mask in a pandemic time. It is like a leisurely activity. And if you can't go, listen to her on Spotify. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. Or go to the cover band like we are.
Yeah, we're going to the cover band. That's, I haven't bought the tickets yet, but I would imagine they are significantly less expensive.
Jeanette, I'm going to try and buy them all and I'm going to resell them to you at a ridiculous price.
I would buy them only though. That's the thing. That's the way capitalism works, is like, you would set a price. And then if I didn't think it was worth it, I wouldn't buy it.
I mean, the market is distorted by the Ticketmaster system. So you can't say that that's like a perfect, like, I don't think that this is not a free market, truly, you know? So
I'm
think
saying no one is forced to buy these tickets.
And right. So that's what I feel. I also feel like people who are like, oh, you went twice. Like, some people can't get any tickets. It's like, there are tickets available.
They're expensive. Like, and Sammy, it's unethical of you to go to Taylor Swift twice when some people haven't even gotten to go once.
No, people do say that. Not to me, but people say that, like on Reddit.
That's what I'm saying. It's not like, and it's not like seeing Taylor Swift is going to a primary care physician. Like,
but it's also like, it's not that you cannot get a Taylor Swift ticket. They're just too expensive. And like, that is wrong. I don't want them to be too expensive. I wish they were cheaper and I wouldn't take someone else's ticket. Like, I wouldn't scalp these tickets in a million years, even if I got tickets.
But you also don't have the financial freedom to not need to. Maybe
who says
he needs
this
the
guy
money.
Does.
He wrote in the email that he's like, his mom is sick or something.
No, she wrote. Oh,
no, he said, would it make a difference if I told you like someone?
No,
whatever,
he just
he
asked that
the money
in theory,
in
I thought.
I was unclear whether or not that was actually.
I mean, I just think she doesn't have to be friends with a guy if she thinks he's a dick. And
you
don't
have to be friends with anyone for any reason at all. Like, there's no having to be friends. You don't have to be in a relationship if you don't like what someone does. You don't have to be in a friendship. You don't have to be in any kind of relationship that you don't want to be in. But that's not the question.
Yeah. I mean, I put it in the icky category. Like, it leaves a bad taste, but like,
I put it as a friendship red flag, not a deal breaker for me personally.
Okay. I just think I wouldn't be that. Like, you're not going into a friendship with a person based on this. It's not like dating. Like, you'd have a whole history with someone and
right.
then they
that's
would do
saying.
This.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's not like I wouldn't be like, and I'm never speaking to you again. And if I did,
yeah,
I think
not
it would be
this.
A lot more, as Holly said, to give a little more context. The friend has essentially turned her back on the guy entirely for not selling the tickets. She's not mad that he's scalping. She's mad that he didn't give her the tickets. So she's freezing him out.
Was that
and
the,
to me,
yeah,
that is,
that's just selfish.
That's entitled. That's her being entitled.
Right.
No one deserves these tickets.
I thought she wanted him to give them to someone
she
else.
She suggested that as an option.
No,
really,
she then later said in the email, I remember said, and now I don't even want the tickets. I just think he should give them to this person.
She wants the tickets.
But she did say that in the email, I remember.
Fine.
Anyway. I remember that because that was a point. But either way, no one owes anyone Taylor Swift tickets. And you know what? We should use this energy for real things that people need as a right, like healthcare.
Sammy, can I tell you how many emails I've gotten about interpersonal dilemmas on oversharing related to Taylor Swift concerts?
Right. And people, do you know how many reviews you've gotten related to Taylor Swift concerts?
No, I'm just saying, like, this Eras tour is ruining friendships. It's creating... there's so many. I want to send them some, just some of them to you because
I
want to
see them. Yeah,
maybe
really
maybe I'll do one on this. On
maybe
this
we
show,
should
Taylor
do
Swift.
A speak now Taylor Swift.
Yeah,
ethical dilemma.
We'll have Holly join us. Also,
yeah,
I think that'd
be
really
fun.
We'll do Let's do that next week.
Yeah. Okay. That'll be great.
I'll look for one. There's so many. It's like so many that I'm like, this is a, this, that makes me understand why she's changing the economy.
It also makes me understand why there are cult leaders.
Right? That's what I'm saying. It's like Star Wars. There is a star worship element to this.
Look, I love her, but like, I would not follow her to Jonestown. I'll just say that.
You say that now.
She's not doing that. She just wants us to listen to music and make bracelets and shit. Anyway, that's it for the App Betches podcast. Please rate, review, and subscribe and leave us a nice message and DM us and let you know what you think about everything.
Make sure you rate, review, and subscribe. And we'll see you next week on the App Betches podcast.
At Betches is produced by Sean Kilby and Holly Wilkinson. Editing by Jazz Zapatos and Shannon Sassone. Be sure to follow At Betches on Instagram and send us your emails to podcast@betches.com.
Betches.